Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, the Olympics are well underway, and for most of us, we can sit down and enjoy the spectacle of our athletes flying the flag for our country. But for a few, a select few, there's the added emotion of cheering on their daughters, their sons, their brothers and sisters. So what's it like to be watching your family member compete at the highest level possible and not to be able to be there to support them? To share their insights, I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Tracy McLenahan, mother of gymnast Reese, Gordon Watkins, father of hockey player Chloe, Finn Murphy, brother of sailor Annalise, and Annette Woolley, mother of taekwondo fighter Jack. Good morning to you all. Tracy, I'm going to start with you. You're very welcome.
Hello, good morning.
How are you feeling ahead of the final on Sunday?
I would say excited and nervous in equal measure would be a fair summary if I were feeling. But to be honest, actually, we were more nervous, I think, going into the qualifications. So we're just really delighted that he's made it to the final and that he can now call himself an Olympian. So anything else after that for us is a bonus.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you just, you know, until he got his hands on the pommel horse, he wasn't an Olympian. And when that happened, then he's there for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, it's been his dream for so many years to be an actual Olympian. And we knew he couldn't actually call himself an Olympian until he actually performed at the Olympics. So yeah, it was a huge relief just to do that. And also qualification stages in gymnastics in particular, there's just so many gymnasts there. It can be very easy to get lost in amongst all the gymnasts, and he needed to do something special to make the top eight. And
certainly
he managed
did.
To pull it off.
He did.
So we're delighted.
I don't know how practical a person you are, but how hard has it been for both of you not to be able to give him a hug?
It is really, really hard because we feel like we haven't seen him actually for a long time, because just the training schedule was so intense coming up to the Olympics anyway, and then with them self-isolating before they went away, and then he's gone. And in some ways it almost feels surreal for us. It almost feels like it's not happening.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know,
yeah.
And every now and again, something will come on the TV and then you get that like gut wrenching feeling again and you think, oh, yeah, it's the Olympics and he's there.
Will you talk to me about what it was like watching the qualification?
Yeah, just very nerve wracking. I mean, it was at 2 o'clock in the morning as well, which didn't help really. But
did you go to bed beforehand?
I did go to bed beforehand. I actually am quite a good sleeper, but my husband couldn't sleep at all. He woke me up like 10 minutes before the actual final, so I think I was still half sleeping whenever I saw it. But overwhelmingly, there's just a huge feeling of relief, more than anything, that he's gone and he's done a good routine, because we know he can do that routine over and over and over again in training. So it's just being able to produce that on the day.
Yeah, and it's just all the stress around the COVID testing and the isolation and being away, not being with you guys. They're all additional pressures that we don't see as we're watching the telly.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely been extra pressures this year. I mean, this is Reese's first Olympics, so we don't have anything to compare to. So maybe in some ways that's a good thing, because he hasn't been able to experience a normal, in inverted commas, Olympics. But, I mean, to be honest, Reese is having the time of his life out there, and he seems very relaxed and happy, and he's enjoying the whole process at the minute. And that in itself is really, really important to us to see that.
Where will you watch the final on Sunday?
We're going to be watching at home. We hemmed and hawed about it, and we just thought, no, I think we'll just stay home, because my nerves, I don't think, could take being in too much company. So we have some close family just coming around to watch it with us.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, because it can be hard to be around people when your focus needs to be on him.
Yeah, you're not very good company.
I can imagine. Gordon is with us now. Gordon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Gordon Watkins, of course, Chloe's dad. This is Chloe's first Olympics, the first time an Irish women's hockey team have qualified for the Olympic Games. So you'll be cheering on Chloe and her teammates from your home in Dublin, is that right?
That's right, yes. I mean, I'd love to have been there. I've been to most, in fact, all the major tournaments she's been in, but You know, 9 months ago, we kind of conditioned ourselves we weren't going to make this one. So, but the biggest relief really is that the games are going ahead, because that would have been devastating for her, because she's 12 years in the program. And it's a lot of hard work. So I'm just delighted for her that it's gone ahead.
But Chloe isn't the first member of your family to play hockey for Ireland.
No, my son, Gareth, he played, he's 43 or 44 caps for Ireland. But he's 7 years older than Chloe. So she kind of looked up to him an awful lot. And I think she was lucky to have him as a role model too, coming through, because she experienced, a high-level hockey at a very young age, and that just, it certainly gave her the impetus to want to get out there.
Could you see her as a child watching her brother play, and could you see that look in her face that told you that this was going to be her sport?
Well, without a doubt, but I mean, she had an aptitude for all sports. Like she played Leinster League cricket at 13 years of age. She played Leinster soccer, league soccer for Cabinteely at 15. So, you know, she had an aptitude for sports all the time. But she chose hockey. Everybody thinks just because I was involved in hockey, she chose because of that. But she didn't. She enjoyed the camaraderie. She enjoyed the skill level of it and the athleticism. And I think she really bought into it at an early stage.
And this must be a really special time for the whole family, Gordon, is it?
Ah, yes. It certainly is. I mean, it's lovely to see her out there and just doing something that she had dreamed about doing. And, we're right behind her. We're a sporty family. And, it's very pleasing for us. Absolutely.
And I'm sure you have lots of people wishing you well as you're out and about, do you?
Ah, absolutely. I must say, hockey is quite a close-knit community, and there have been good wishes coming in by text, by email, all sorts of things. But I must say, I think in general, I think people in hockey are just loving this moment. There are a lot of very good players who've gone before them, and there's a lot of people who put a lot of hard work into the sport, on a voluntary basis. So I think for all those people, I think that this fortnight is very special.
It is indeed, and it is for us watching on too. Annette Woolley, mother of taekwondo fighter Jack. Good morning, Annette.
Morning, Claire.
I think the whole country's hearts went out to Jack on Saturday after what happened. How is he? How are you?
Oh, well, he's due home in a few hours from the airport.
Oh,
so
good.
You get that hug.
Yeah, I know. You get the hug. That's all you want, isn't it?
But I keep trying to say to him, like, he's still really down. He's still beating himself up over. But it's kind of like, as I said, but he never listens to Mammy. But even though I said, like, you might not have won the medal that you went out for, but you definitely won the heart of the nation. You know what I mean? I don't know how many of these messages he's seen because he hasn't been online. But he definitely knows some of the high-profile ones that he's ever been getting.
Yeah, and he's an Olympian now, you know. He mightn't be able to see that yet, but that's what he is. And he's Ireland's first ever representative in Olympic taekwondo.
Like, I mean, he's made history. He's continuously made history in his sport. Like, he was the first ever, I think, European medalist. He's several European medals. Nobody ever kind of knows about that. He's first ever Grand Prix fighter, first ever Grand Prix medalist. Like, these are big things within that sport, but because it's a minority sport, no one really kind of knows, or it's no big deal to anybody else, if that makes sense.
And you've had messages, haven't you, Annette, from all over the world supporting him?
Oh, there's been hundreds of messages. Vietnam, Australia, America, like complete strangers messaging me privately, or even just like on the RT Twitter page, Facebook, whatever, you know. It was hard. Like, I didn't cry when Jack lost, like, in that moment. It was, I didn't realise that there was an interview, because obviously RT switched to the cycling, so I just kind of switched the television off.
Yeah.
And it was only afterwards I was told about the interview, so I had to go looking for it, and then I cried. But it wasn't because he'd lost, it was because Jack, fair enough, he is honest. That's one of the things I'm most proud about him for. It's not winning medals, it's not kind of being champion, it's about how honest and vulnerable and just his ability to be him is what I've always been the most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that other people saw that, and kind of mirrored that in their lovely messages.
Well, I think,
helped me deal with it.
I think, Annette, what we saw in that interview was his strength of character.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of, he keeps going on about other people's sacrifices. And yeah, like, but at the end of the day, you know, financial sacrifices are sacrifices of your time or whatever, or putting the budget mood swings. It's kind of when he's cutting weight. You know, there are your choice. You know, that's not on his shoulders, and it shouldn't be. He's forgetting the sacrifices that he's made. Like, Jack hasn't been able to have a relationship or a normal life or a social life, or, like, you know, he's sacrificed some of his education because he missed so much of school. He didn't get what his potential would have been in his leaving cert, you know. All these things that he's forgetting about, like, his life for God knows how many years now has been eat, sleep, train, travel, compete, repeat. Do you know what I mean? There isn't time for anything else. Like, there's times when it gets too many, just kind of like, I just want to be normal. I just want to walk in Starbucks and kind of and go on holiday, you know? And the fact that he can't even go on holiday now, you'd think he deserves a break, and he does, and he doesn't think he deserves it. He has to fight in a few weeks for Paris ranking points. So he's been told he can't have a holiday. He was training the very next day on the mat.
And this, this has been his life since he was 6 years old?
Well, not me. Yeah, we've been training since he was six, but it hasn't been that intense since then.
Mm-hmm.
From about being, I think it was 12 or 13, we were at an Olympic training camp in Greece while the Rio Games were going ahead. Oh, no, London, 2012 Games were going ahead. And I specifically asked the two coaches that were there, because they were both Olympic coaches. And I said, look, I want an honest answer. I'm going to ask you a question. I want an honest answer. I'm not a mammy who just wants to be told her kid is great. You know what I mean? I know how good he is, but I don't need kind of anything sugarcoated. I said, does Jack have what it takes to become a world champion or an Olympic champion? Because this thing is costing us a fortune, and I'm probably going to have to mortgage my house. Because the travel is intense, and the equipment's not cheap, and there was no funding. You know, Jack became world number one at the lower weight, minus 54 there a few years ago, without any funding.
Gosh.
You know, it was just all fundraising or savings, or like Jack made Ninja Knot cookies. He got chickens, he sold eggs. He used his communion money, you know what I mean, that he'd saved up to get himself to competitions. You know, it's not just us and friends and family and all these supporters who have been out there backing us up. I think Jack just needs to remember, yes, it's taken. It's not just him that got him there. He knows that, but he has to realise that he's the one who got him there too. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for him, nobody would be there. His coach wouldn't be there. We wouldn't have been watching. You know what I mean? The nation wouldn't have been watching. So, you know, and he's done his sport proud too. Like I said, taekwondo is a minority sport. And one of the goals that they had, it wasn't just about Jack meddling or making history. It was about putting taekwondo out there in the public realm more, you know, mm-hmm. to inspire other young people to kind of take it up. So, you know, that we've got a bigger pool of people to kind of choose from, and hopefully Jack is just the first of many, you know.
I'm speechless. I'm still with the eggs and the ninja knot.
Oh no, that's the thing. They were brilliant. They were like little they were gingerbread, but they were in the shape of ninjas and all that stuff, like little artisan cookies.
Yeah, you see though, the rest of us would probably do that when we were a teenager to buy a PlayStation or something. To participate in sport at a really high level, you know.
It was literally, he was a Faroga Nifty program, like an entrepreneurship program. So they started off with €15 seed money, and I think within 6 months he'd made €1,000, and that funded his flights to Taipei for a competition.
Good for him. And look, he's back this afternoon, so as we said at the beginning, that's when the hug will happen. That's the moment you're waiting for, Annette, isn't it?
Yeah, and the floodgates will probably be open. I've been trying to hold them in.
Listen, don't worry about it. That's what that moment is for. If you don't cry,
like,
then you never will.
Fuss, so, you know what I mean, there's not going to be any flag waving or whatever else, but he doesn't know this, but I just, for a little bit of comfort, when he comes home, I've got to get him a huge box of Haribo Tang Fastics, which are his favourite, just waiting for him in the door. And, you know, so hopefully you realise.
Simple pleasures. I'm going to say to my children now, the only time you can have those Tang Fantastics is when you've become an Olympian, right? I'm taking my example from you, Annette.
No, it's the only time I've ever bought more than one pack of that once. And they're all dressed up in a nice little box with Irish flags and the Team Ireland logo and all that.
Lovely.
It's the first thing he sees as soon as he opens the door.
Look, Annette, enjoy it. And we wish Jack well. Thanks so much for talking to us. Finn Murphy, brother of sailor Annalise Murphy, is with us. You were listening to all that, Finn. I'm sure some of it sounds familiar, does it?
Oh, you know, like pretty much everything that said there is just like, you know, I was watching Jack's interview after the taekwondo, and it's just a lot of the, you know, a lot of what you saw for us in London in 2012 when Annalise had come forth. You know, these athletes, like, they sacrifice so much and they put so much pressure on themselves. And, you know, they're often, I think this is kind of like part of the sort of why Olympic sport is so captivating. Like, they're all filled with sort of so much self-doubt, and that self-doubt is like always pushing them to be better and to try to perform at the absolute top of their game. And, you know, at the Olympics, especially for some of the more, you know, some of the more small sports, you know, this is their moment and when they put themselves on the stage. And, you know, the pressure can either drive you to do something great or it can drive you to, you know, let it slip away. And, you know, I think it's just like Annette said, it's you can't get inside their heads. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with Tokyo, you know, that's kind of like all of the families and all of the support staff and all of the usual things that would be around these athletes at the Olympics isn't really, you know, it's not there. Like, you know, after Annalise's first day at this event, you know, all you want to do is kind of like reach out through the world and give her a hug and, you know, tell her that, you know, try to kind of like give her the belief that you have in her and that everyone else does, because you know what's going on inside the athlete's head is just like, oh no, how do I, you know, am I performing? Am I giving it all I've got? Have I let people down? And, you know, no matter how much you say it over a video call, it's not quite the same as actually having been there like we were at the last two games. So it's just, I think it's been really like emotional TV to watch, like, you know, to watch over the TV. And like, I mean, it's just, I think it's a really like a testament to a lot of the Irish athletes who've been out there in their post, whether they've won, whether they've lost, you know, whether they're still in competition, you know, the honesty and the sort of, you know, like Annette said about Jack, like the vulnerableness to be open about where they're at has just been really, like, it's been really commendable across all of the athletes on the Irish team.
And how is Annalise getting on? Because, I mean, she knows the setup. This is her third Olympics, isn't it? So It's just the COVID restrictions and the fact that you guys aren't there that makes it different. How is she coping with all of that?
Yeah, like, it's very, like her, like, you know, effectively, normally for Rio, Annalise would have been out at the venue for like almost 100 days the year before the competition. With Tokyo, Annalise had been there once and arrived 2 weeks beforehand. You know, normally you would be like last in Rio again, she would have been living in her own accommodation with her coach, her sports psych. You know, there would have been quite a strict program around her. While here, like, they're like, this is, I mean, like, it's amazing and it's great that they've got the Olympics has managed to happen, but like, they didn't even have enough room in the Olympic Village at the sailing venues, so they're back and forth to a hotel every day on a bus. So it's a very, like, you go and do your competition, you get COVID tested, you get picked up by a bus, and you go to a hotel room on your own. And, you know, there's room to see your other teammates, and it's great that the other Irish sailors are there. But it's a very, like, the Olympics is all about, like, all of the athletes do the work, all of them put in the training. It really comes down to how you handle your psychology going into the event. And this Games in particular, and, you know, it's much more
challenging. Finn, we need to leave it there, but I just want to wish Annalise well and all of our families who we've spoken to. Thank you so much for taking the time. Tracy and Gordon, Annette and Finn, as I say, wonderful to speak to you all. Let's